Well, praise God. Let's start off with that. We have some newlyweds in the house. If Mr. and Mrs. Dave and Missy Heaton stand up, let us newlyweds. God bless you. God bless. Miss Sherry, you were on. It was a word from God. Credit where credit's due. Thank you for being obedient. Mr. Matt, right on, brother. You're in touch. All right, if we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. I don't know about anybody else, but I've got goosebumps. God's up to something in the house today. Not because of me, because He's God and He reigns on high. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For He acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Give God a praise. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we're so thankful and so honored that we can come into your house today to worship you and to study your word. Father, give the people ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts and minds to receive what you have for them this day. Father, I pray for great signs, wonders, and miracles following the preaching of your word today for your glory and for your honor. Father, I thank you what you've already touched us and already put this service together, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And Father, one last thing. Father, let me preach in the power of your Spirit for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, God provides. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High is what we're going to be talking about. A few weeks ago, I preached about material things that God provides when we talked about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath and the bread and all these things. But we want to talk to you today about God's spiritually that He provides. Now, my introduction is, it's a little bit off the message, but I just want to encourage you, because something I saw in the last couple weeks, and most of you know that my mom died a couple weeks ago, and she had COPD, needed a heart valve transplant. She said, no, but I went to visit her in the hospital, and wasn't expecting her to die. I just thought she had some things with her COPD. And one day she was up in one room with no mask or anything. When the next day we came in, she was in ICU and had a mask on. It's helping her to breathe. But she still could talk and communicate. And I left that. And God just really impressed on me, you know, you need to ask her about her salvation. So when I came back the next night, I was there by myself with her. And I leaned over and I said, Mom, you know, I'm a preacher. I said, is your heart right with Jesus? And she said, oh my, yes. And I said, Mom, I'm so proud of you. She got saved off of a TV evangelist on TV. And she watched some preachers on TV. She later told her nurse, she said, you need to take this mask off of me. I've lived a long, good life. I know where I'm going. I know my heart's right with God, and she was prepared to go out of here. And what I want to encourage you with this was, it said, I'm standing back and I see this and I hear this. I said, man, Mom, way to stand up. But then it really is a way to stand up, Jesus, because your grace and mercy came upon her and she wasn't afraid to go out of this world into the new world. And what I want to encourage you with, when it comes time for you to pass from this world to the next, if your heart's right with Jesus, his grace and mercy will carry you out and you won't be afraid about it. Give God a praise. All right, let me get started here. You know, another one has passed over the Jordan River into the promised land flowing with milk and honey. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can someone give God a shout of praise in the house today for Mom? Hallelujah. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. First, we need to examine that scripture. When we dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, you've made a conscious effort to dwell with God. Those that dwell in that shelter are born-again Christians. You made that effort, and God has drawn you to his salvation. So that's what it means to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, his protection, his hand upon you. His salvation is on you. And you will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now let me ask you a question here. Did anybody force you to come here this morning? If they did, you need to thank God that they did. But in reality, most of us, we were not forced. Pastor Kenny didn't come out and drag you out of bed and hold a gun to your head and tell you you need to come to church today, even though he would like to do that. But no, you weren't forced. You made a conscious effort to come, whether you're saved or not. God has drawn you into this house for a purpose. God has something for you today. You just need to expect it. Maybe it's to plant a seed in your heart, or maybe it's your day of destiny to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The size of this crowd, yes, amen. The size of this crowd, there's some people in here that are not saved. Your heart's not right with God today. I hope it is, and you're going to have the opportunity to make that right before you leave. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. You must be born again. You must be able to dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. You know, we read all these fine and wonderful promises in Psalms 91 about everything that God would do for you, but your heart's got to be right with God. He's talking about you and I, the Christians, those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's where we take advantage of all these promises that God has for you. God will provide for his purpose for your life, not only material things, but spiritual growth. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Got to trust God for his provision. We got to trust God for our provision, especially our spiritual provision. You know, maybe you're not where you want to be today. Probably most of us aren't. You know, we'd like to be Joe spiritual or Mary high on the cloud almighty, but it's a process that we have to go through. And God's perfecting us through the power of his Spirit. And today you might not be where you want to be, but we need to trust God that he's going to get us to that place. Maybe you're even in a dry place. Has anybody ever been in a dry place with God? You're like, God, where are you? Where are you today, God? Sometimes God's just wanting to take you through a dry place to elevate you. Trust God. And then, Chris, there's something that we say around here all the time. What is it? Oh, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Get into the Word of God. If you feel like you're dry, get into the Word of God. Let God speak to you. Let God encourage you. Let God nourish you. Then you need to have a prayer life. God wants to talk to you. You're his creation. You're the apple of his eye. We need to talk to God. We have that privilege to talk to God. A lot of people in the world thinks that's probably crazy. Well, God never talks to you, or God's too high and mighty for that, but that's not true. God loves us, and He'll talk to us. He'll speak to us, but we need to talk to Him. He wants to hear from us. And you need to go to church. Well, I got some words of encouragement today, but I got some words of warning for you too. We need to go to church as often as possible. God wants to speak to you in church. There's some people in here that need you in church. They're waiting for a word for you in church. Or maybe you're down and out today and you need some encouragement for somebody else. We need to get in church, get around believers to encourage us, and we can encourage them. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. We need to be confident once we get saved and we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, God's going to carry the work out to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. Now that means when Jesus comes back, or if we go to be with the Lord, if we die, God's going to take care of you. He'll help you grow spiritually. We need to rely on Him. We need to trust in Him. You need to hang in there. God's not done with you. Rest in His grace and His mercy. Sometimes we think, well, I've had some experiences with God, and He's done some miraculous things in my life, and, I'm kind of topped out. God, that's about it. You've done spent whatever you've allocated for me, and it's not ever going to get any better. Well, that's hogwash. That's foolishness. That's just not what the Bible says. His latter glory and your life's going to be greater than the former. If we just keep running after God, greater things are coming our way. We just need to trust in God. If you're dry, drink from the living water. Get that Bible out. Start reading that Bible. Start asking God to speak to you, whatever it is. I'm going to give you four words that's going to change your life if you'll put them into practice. It's going to change your spiritual walk with Jesus. It's going to change your attitude towards the kingdom of God. Four words. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's getting ready to tell me. All right, every year this way, be attentive to this to change your walk with God. Four simple words. Get your praise on. It's easy to praise God up in the mountaintop when you've been victorious, but when you're down in the bottom and out and you feel like eating worms, start praising God down in the valley and see if that doesn't change things. God said, I'll inhabit your praises. I'll be there with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always for you. I'm going to bring you victory. Get your praise on. Start praising God down in the valley. Start praising God when things don't seem to be going right. Worship God. It will revolutionize your walk with God. It's nice to come in and have Matt and all the praise team. They lead us in prayer, praise and song service. But it's just for a few minutes on Sunday. What about the rest of the week? What about the other 6 days? Doesn't God deserve your praise? Doesn't God deserve your worship? Doesn't God deserve all that you have? It will change your prayer life. It will change your life if you take time in your prayer closet or wherever you're at. Take 5 or 10 minutes and just worship God. God, just start thanking Him for all the things that you've gotten, all the things that He's done for you, saving your souls. He's prepared a mansion in heaven for you. His grace and mercy is awesome. We need to praise God for that. If you're losing hope, He is the hope for the hopeless. Think about what God has in store for you. Just think about what God has in store for you. Many of you have promises that God has not brought about yet, but He's working on it. I know I have lots. Clock's ticking. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. But I'm believing God that He's going to do it in my life because He said it. And when He said it, I can take it to the bank because it's the gospel truth. God cannot lie, and what he says is going to happen is going to happen. Come on now. We need to get a word from God and what he's going to do for you. Think about these things. We need to lean on his everlasting arms. God, you're my rock. I want all that you have for me. I remember back when I was a new Christian, and I was sitting in a choir. It was like a platform, it's kind of like this, and you know, the people were right up against you almost. There wasn't much space there, and I was traveling back and forth to work like over 100 miles one way, and, you know, and I started to drain me, and I was tired, and you know, oh God, I'm dying here. You know how we get. Started whining, and anyhow, one of the ladies in the choir was singing a solo special, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," and the Holy Spirit came down on me. I started to weep and cry, and God said, "Why don't you just try leaning on my everlasting arms?" My problem was, I said, "Oh God, don't let me cry in front of all these people. It's the last time I've ever said that." I said, "God, whatever it takes, whatever you got for me, God, I want it. I don't care what people think. God, I want all that you have for me. If I have to cry in front of a million people, praise God. Because your touch is more precious to me than anything in the world." When we can get into the presence of God and you can feel the presence of God and he touches you, there's not a drug on this earth that's worth that. There's no liquor in this world that's worth that. God Almighty, when his hand comes upon you, there is nothing like that. Somebody give to God a praise. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High surely will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." Think about what's going on today. We look around, we see this North Korean situation and protests, terrorists, jobs, the weather, and all this stuff just goes on and on and on. And sometimes we can lose hope and we can lose faith and we can say, "God, what is going on? Who are you going to turn to? The government? Who are you going to turn to?" We need to take time to sit at Jesus' feet. You know, we're so busy running here and there and everywhere. We got to get this in. We got to get that in. We got to go here. We got to go there. You know how it is in America. We're just so busy, busy, busy. But we need to take time to sit at Jesus' feet every day. You need to set a time every day to sit at his feet. You got to set time every day to read the word. You got to set time to pray. You got to set time. Because if you don't, it'll get away from you and you missed out on that day. "His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." Really, what we need to do, you and I, we need to fall in love with God. God, you're the most precious thing in this world. I love my wife. She's all that and two bags of chips. Amen. I'm building up points here. Don't stop me. But listen, God's the most precious thing in my life. He is my salvation. He is my rock. He's my all in all. He is my everything. Fall in love with God. Learn to walk in the cool of the day with him. Now we hear that back when Adam and Eve were walking in the cool of the garden, in the Garden of Eden. Well, when they ate of the tree that they weren't supposed to, sin entered the world and it messed things up. But yet when Jesus died on the cross on Mount Calvary and rose from the dead, the firstborn of the redeemed, he restored that to us spiritually speaking. Was not the temple, the curtain in the temple torn in two? Now we have access to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We can walk and talk with God just like they did in the cool of the day. We need to learn to do that. It's not only that we learn to do it, we need to do it. We need to put it into practice. Nike 1-1, just do it. That's not in your Bible, but it's the truth. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, he's going to ask us a hard question. Here we go. Only you can answer this. It's between you and God. Where is your relationship with God today? Is it all that you want it to be? You say, well, you know, I could do better. We could all do better. I'm the preacher and I can do better. It's just a question you need to think about and ponder on. Where is my relationship with God today? The parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, 1 through 13. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in their jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. The door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." He replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Five of them were wise and five were foolish. The lamps represent your salvation, and the oil is the Holy Spirit. So they all knew Jesus at one time, but five of them let the oil go out, run out of their lamps. At the end, they knew about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. They knew about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. Some of you sitting here today, you know about Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. Jesus wants to come into your heart today and give you salvation. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants you to spend eternity in heaven with him. He wants to give you everything that we've talked about here in Psalms 91. But it's not good enough to know about Jesus. You have to know Jesus. Jesus has to reign in your heart as your Lord and your Savior. How about you today? See, that's a question you have to answer. The Holy Spirit may be speaking to you right now. How about you today? That's been the theme of the whole thing today, isn't it? Jesus is saying, how about you? Do you dwell in the shelter of the Most High? Psalms 91, 7 through 16. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe in your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample on the great lion and the serpent, because he loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Three key things there in 14 and 15. Because he loves me, he acknowledges my name, and he calls on me. Sounds like somebody that's in a relationship with God. Somebody that knows God. Somebody that understands that he can walk and talk with God. And God said, I'll do all these things. I'll rescue him. I'll protect him. I'll be his refuge. I'll be his shelter. If he loves me, and if he loves me, he'll acknowledge my name, and he will call on me, and I will answer. Wow, God's saying, if you're in the shelter of the Most High, when you call on me, I'll answer you. God said, I'll talk to you. You talk to me, I'll talk to you. What an awesome privilege. What a great thing is that we can have a conversation with God. Whatever it may be, God already knows all about you. He knows your good side and He knows your bad side. He knows where we fall short. He knows all these things. Why do we hide? Talk to Him about it. See, God changed me. You can't change yourself anyhow. You need the Holy Spirit to come on you and change you, and make you into a new person. Even after we're Christians, when we fall short, we need to ask God, God, come and change me. I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want you to change me. Comes down to these two words, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Make everything about Jesus. Jesus is our salvation. He is our rock. He is our bright morning star. He's our all in all. He is the sweet rose of Sharon. He's my all in all. He is my salvation. He is everything to me. John chapter 21, verse 20 and 22, Peter turned and saw the disciples whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Jesus was talking to one of his right-hand men, one of his disciples had been with him, been through everything with him, and he's telling him, Peter, stop looking at other people. Stop looking at what Joe Smith's doing and what Chris is doing and what Trina's doing and what Sherry's doing. You must follow me. You must read the Word of God. You must pray. You must seek after me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. When judgment day comes and when we go to the by and by and we're in heaven, God is not going to ask you, well, I knew Brother McPherson over there. Man, he was a holy man. Does that help get me in? He'll say, no, he was a good man and he's a saved man and he's in, but that ain't helping you. You got to have it in your heart. You got to have Jesus in your heart. It's all about Jesus. Stop looking at other people. Work on knowing the Almighty God. Paul said at the end of his life, I just want to know God more. Think about everything that Paul was through. Wrote over half the New Testament. God used him in great signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, he was beaten, stoned, and thrown in prison. He was in the ocean for a day and a half and a night, and he was all these things. You think, you know, Paul would have said it in his life, I wish I would have been able to speak to more people, or I'd have had bigger crusades, or I'd have did this, or I'd have did that. Paul said this one thing, he said, I want to know him more. If that's what's in our heart today, I want to know Jesus more. I know that I fall short. I know I'm not where I should be, but I'm working at it, and I'm seeking after God. I want more of God. I want to know him more. That's the secret to it. I want a greater relationship with God. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Praise team, if you'll come on. Here's my conclusion. God is our beginning and our end. Revelation chapter 21, verse 6 and 7. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of living water. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You know, the key words there is, he who overcomes. Jesus has already done it on Calvary. He's already provided for your salvation. He's provided for the cleansing of your sins when he shed his blood on Mount Calvary. He has provided for your salvation. He's provided for you forever and ever, for all eternity. It's a finished work. All we have to do is accept it. And God's speaking to some people here today. He said, all you have to do is accept it. It's a free gift. I'll pour it out. I'll protect you. I'll be your father. I'll be your God. I'll be your daddy. I'll be all in all to you. You just need to accept it. Even as Christians, we just need to accept God's love. That he'll touch us and he'll change us and he'll move upon us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. In reality, God's talking to the church there. For the sinners and saints, but mostly to the church. He's just asking you, you're the one that has to take the step forward. Even as a sinner today, if you haven't have Christ in your heart, all you need to do is take a step forward. Say, God, here I am. I'm just going to take a step. I'm taking a step towards you. And if we'll do that, God will meet us where we're at. You don't have to be cleaned up. You don't have to be sanctified. You don't have to be Mr. Perfect. You have everything cleaned up in your life. God has to do that anyhow. All he wants you to do is take your heart and take a step towards him today. Say, God, I'm opening the door up. I'm inviting you into my heart. Are you dwelling in the shelter of the Most High? Will you rest in the shadow of the Almighty? God's saying today, come, come, come. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now I'm going to give you the opportunity. God's going to give you the opportunity to come into the kingdom. Maybe you're in a place where maybe you're just not sure. Maybe you've been in a backslidden condition. I'm going to ask you right now. And all you got to do is raise up your hand and say, God, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior today. Is there anybody in the house? Just raise your hand up. I will not embarrass you. I see 1, 2, 3, 4. Just keep your hand up for another second. I'm not going to embarrass you. I see 4 hands. All right, saints, we're gonna participate in this. We're going to help it. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you believe this and you really mean this, your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life today. You'll cross over from this world to the kingdom of God today. Saints, you help me out too. Just say this prayer as I repeat it. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I ask you to come into my heart and take the seat on the throne of my heart as my Lord and Savior. I thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now what I want you to do today is tell somebody, today I accepted Christ. Don't be ashamed about it. Say, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now I'm going to open the altars up. Those 4 that gave your heart, if you want prayer, we'd be glad to pray for you, but there'll be a prayer team up here. If anybody, whatever you need, you say, hey, maybe I'm a little dry today. I need a touch of God. Maybe I'm feel far away from God, or maybe whatever it is, maybe you need a healing touch. You just need to be refreshed by God. The altars are open. Come, come, come.
Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Father God, you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our shelter, our protector, Father God. You are our all in all. Father God, I just pray over this congregation. I pray for those who have bowed their hearts and their will to you today, Father God. Come through in a mighty way, Lord, that they might know that everything that they've heard today is true, that they can rely on you as their Lord and Savior, that they can come to you, Father God. Father, I just pray for special anointing and favor over these people that have come to you and claimed salvation, Father God. Lord, just set a hedge of protection around them, Father God, as they go through this week. But Father God, I pray for a hunger and thirst like they've never experienced before for you, Father God, that the words from the Bible might leap out to them and be life-changing, life-giving. Father, again, I thank you for this service, Lord, I pray, Lord, that it was pleasing unto you. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're our Savior and that you care for us so richly and so deeply, Father God, that we can't comprehend or even understand. Father, be with your people now as we leave, Father God. Help us not be complacent in our relationship with you or with our co-workers, our family, all those around us, Father God. Just use us. Help us to be your disciples, Father God, to claim for others for you. Father, just strengthen us. Give us the boldness that we so desperately need, Father God, to proclaim your name. Just be with us in everything we say and do this week. In Jesus' name, amen.